Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Conscious Junkie podcast show. Today I am thrilled to have on the show one of Denmark's leading specialists in yin yoga. She's bold, wise and funny. Also a traveler, entrepreneur, teacher and, I am sure if we would get to know each other better, friend. She inspires the world to become calm, but on the other hand, doesn't hide her cup of coffee or glass of wine. She's only human after all, and not afraid to show her humanity with the world. Welcome to the show, Christine Marie Rost.
Thank you very much. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm flushing now.
Oh, so true.
Thank you. Yeah. Trying to be authentic.
Yeah, you are, man. And I love that just right before we press this record button, you mentioned that you have your nice and cup of coffee there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is from a friend, actually. I have a friend from Germany. Maybe you met her when we were at Yoga Festival last year, Verena, and she's actually working this fair trade coffee farm in Tanzania. So she sent me this amazing coffee. So it's perfectly roasted.
Oh, that's amazing. So it's a cup of coffee with a story.
It is.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. So, Christine, I'm so excited to have you on the show. And you know what? Yesterday, unfortunately, it's in Dutch, but I recorded a podcast about what the aim is of this podcast and what the idea is behind it. Yeah. And I just mentioned that for me, it's just a beautiful collection of conversations with people and a collection of profound yoga knowledge, and not just yoga, I think knowledge about life. And along my many travels, I met so many incredible humans, and yeah, that's why I love to have you on the show to ask you some things about yin yoga. Yeah, and I would like to start, like, just from curiosity, are you more yin or yang by nature?
I'm actually in balance. My yin yang is in are balanced, but my yin seems to be a little bit of a weak point because I can be very lazy. So the yang kind of draws the energy out of me. That's natural because yang is takes energy and yin builds it up. When you're asking, I think that's a very good question. I'm probably more nature yang, and because it takes my energy, I get lazy. So it's difficult for me to build up my yin, because nobody's gonna rebuild the energy from being lazy, lying around, being on Netflix or looking at the phone or just looking out the window is not gathering the energy. So the yin yoga for me is actually where I build up my energy to not be lazy, not to let the yang draw out the energy of me.
Ah, that's interesting. And like, if you would say, if you practice for yourself, do you do both practices? Do you like yang styles of yoga or something else to sort of light up that fire?
I used to do a lot of yang. I used to do hot yoga, done my vinyasa, done my yang yoga style. But today I only do yin yoga. Because the way that I work with the yin is very energetic and it's quite powerful. So I don't collapse on my cushions and my bolsters. I don't use any of that. I'm always very present and aware in each pose. That gives me the energy to cycle around. I live in Copenhagen. My life is going from my home to the coffee shop, from the coffee shop to the yoga studio, from the yoga studio to a meeting, from a meeting to a work area where I can sit with my laptop. It's all very young, and I use my physical body all the time. I use my mind. I keep thinking. So the yin is all I really need. So I can enjoy myself whether I go kayaking, running sometimes. So I do other things than yang yoga.
Yes, that's right. I think that's actually a good point, because a lot of people, they step on the mat to practice yoga because they know it's like calming and relaxing and has some special benefits over other sports. But then they step onto the mat, they already have their busy lifestyles and they start to do like this vigorous vinyasa practice every week. And then they start to become more stressed and they wonder why.
But I think sometimes it's not the practice that gives us the stress or makes us tired. It's the guilt of, am I doing it right? Am I doing enough?
Yes.
It the right time of the day I'm doing it? Do I look fine in this way? Should I be more blah blah blah? So we get very competitive with ourselves on
We
the mat.
do, for
Our
sure.
norm, we're comparing with everybody else, whether it's the magazines or the latest pictures of someone we're following on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure.
Fill out those yoga pants in a way
How
that how it looks for other
does
people.
my ass look like in these pants?
Exactly. And I'm sure just like
Yeah, that's right. There's this constant pressure and this big, big question, am I enough? Yeah, tell me something about the power of yin yoga or yin power,
the
your
yin power.
Instagram name.
What is the name of the yin power? When you translate the chi, the what happens with the chi, with the energy that yin yang gives in the fascia, in the body, in the mind, from the breath, that is yin power. And it's a word translated from Chinese. And it's like Chinese language is very difficult to translate into other languages. So this
Yes.
is kind of what my teacher explained. This is the most correct word of what's actually happening with the yin force. Because what the yin yoga is all about for me, from where I come from, is about life force.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to go. It's a bit like going and have a meal from a burger chain. There's no energy in it. There's no life force in that food.
No prana.
No prana. Exactly. Life force is prana. So yin power is kind of your prana. And that's what it's all about. We need the yin to get yang down. We have a lot of yang in our minds because yang is on the top. Yang is above us. Yang is the heaven. And we need that yang to go down to make us move. No, that's why we have in Danish, we call it tankemøller, which is a fussy mind. Like the mindset is fussy, the mindset is running all the time. That's yang taking the energy. So when we get the yin up from the earth, from the ground, from our feet, from our legs, come down and we start to move. So you can say that yin power is a way of getting the energetic fields channels in the fascia to
All right.
make you move.
All right, that's awesome. We all need that, I guess. But you know, the prana, you got that's the yin power.
You could say so, yeah. But yeah, the yin power needs the prana to move because the prana is a combination of yin and yang.
Yeah, all right. That's what, yeah, now I'm getting you. All right. And you know what? We use the saying now a lot in our yoga classes. I've heard it so many times, like slow down to speed up. We think or assume with doing everything faster and faster, things will go or happen faster. But I think the opposite is true because if you're going through life on this very fast pace, you're sort of missing the point. And you're making more mistakes, and you're not present with what you're doing. And while doing one task, your mind is already at the other task. And it might seem that you are going very fast, but it's not getting you anywhere.
It's very true. It's very true. That's why I have a saying, get grounded, move better.
Yeah, I like that so much. That was the name of the workshop you taught at the festival, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I met you, Christine, at Copenhagen Yoga Festival. I think it's one of my favorite yoga festivals in the world, and unfortunately, it's not happening this year. But correct me if I'm wrong, you taught 7 years in a row there or six?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, first time was in 2013 or something when I just came back from the Philippines as
Ah,
and I've been
yes.
there every year. I've been teaching, and the tent has been growing. Yeah,
Every year.
every year. I'll miss it. It's strange, but
Must be
yeah.
so strange if you did it like six or seven times in a row and now this year it's not there. It's strange.
So that's why I'm going to Thailand.
Yes. When you feel blue, go to Thailand.
Please just get up here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I have a Qigong training I'm going to.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you
Yeah.
teaching it or taking it?
I'm taking it.
Ah,
I have to think,
sweet.
you know, I'm the kind of person which, and it's also what I recommend, and it's also what I was recommended, is that when I take a teacher training, I need the practice that I'm learning to get under my skin. I need to feel it into the bone, and that is
Yes.
not what feel or that's not going to happen during your 200 hours or your 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks training. That will come over 6 months, 12 months, 18 months.
Yes. Yes,
So I'm not
definitely.
passing anything on before it's under the skin within the bones.
Yeah, you need to embody all this that you learn. It takes
That's a good way to
time
put
and
it.
practice and experience. Yeah. That's awesome. But I love that you are giving the world a lot with all your trainings and your classes and your retreats. But it's really cool that you still consciously take the time to go to an own training. I think that's also like the balance of giving and taking. It's part of this yin yang cycle.
Yeah, it is. And we always need both. So how can I just give if I'm not learning anything new? So I need to learn
Impossible.
one, and that what gives it lives, because you need yin yang in all living matters. Nothing is functional without
No.
yin.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. So, just for a second, back to get grounded, move better. That's sort of a workshop you developed, can I put it that way? And what is the aim? What do you want to learn or inspire people with that workshop? Get grounded, move better. I think it's very catchy.
It's very catchy.
Yeah.
I think that was probably one of my counselors who put that together, because I came back building up my brand and my company, saying, yeah, so Christine, what's the target with this? Who are you aiming to get to your classes? Oh, yin yoga is for everybody with a body who can breathe. And it's like,
Yeah.
Christine, it's too wide. You need to come in. Which kind of people are joining? Who are you aiming to get? And I'm like, they're still breathing. It's still people. So this one makes it happen. Get grounded, move better is for everybody. It's for the people who want to cultivate themselves. Yin yoga is about cultivation. We use the yin to cultivate your movement. We cannot move without ground. So what I want to give people is, how are you gonna move better in your dance classes? How are you gonna run faster without getting tired, without getting injured? So the yin yoga is for people who are dancers, runners, loving their sun salutations. It's for everybody who just want to start moving. So even if you come with arthritis, migraine, headaches, old injuries, and not moving, but you are the person who sit in a sofa feeling sluggish, lazy, the yin yoga will cultivate the fascia to want to start moving. If you come as like an Iron Man, you've done your Iron Mans, whether you're a woman or a man, for the last 3 years, you might feel a lot of stiffness, tightness, because the fascia is overstressed and overused, and you're dehydrated from all the sweating and all the practice around whatever, swimming, running, and cycling. So the yin will soften the fascia. So I think,
Yes.
it's I'm not giving too much spiritual. You will have to seek that somewhere else. I'm giving you something very physical to improve your organs, to improve your fascia. And when that is improved, when that is moving and are kind of in a fluid way, elastic and moving and recoiling from every step you take, I mean, the spirit will find itself.
Rice, yeah. I think it's extremely beneficial, and I love how often you see now that like football players are using it, and like everyone who's getting high on sports, or like they do yin yoga.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, I think don't underestimate what hatha, somatic movement, restorative for the nervous system, and all. Don't underestimate. I'm sure they all have benefits, but especially for the athletic people, they don't need all that. They are already overused in the fascia, in the muscles. They need the yin practice to get the true life force to expand themselves, to have better movement.
To have better movement. So get grounded, move better.
Mm.
And how long have you been teaching yin yoga for now?
Oh, since 2012. I started when I was living in the Philippines. Started at a yoga studio, Beyond Yoga. And then I was working, I met a doctor, a Western doctor who specialized in Chinese medicine. And he invited me to teach individuals at at the clinic, complementary clinic at a hospital. So I started in 12 as a yoga therapist. It was amazing working with people with different scoliosis and Parkinson, arthritis, depression and stress, and working with these people using the yin as a healing practice was quite good.
Wow, and it's not just a hobby or just something fun to do in your free time. It's just actually the healing power and the healing purpose of the yoga practice.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of what's his name? The doctor McCraw, Timothy McCraw. He's a doctor. He's a Western doctor from America, and then he fell in love with the Ayurveda, and he's also a yoga teacher. He's been writing a few books, Yoga as Medicine.
Okay.
Timothy McCraw, and I took a course with him. I was back home in Denmark for a couple of weeks during 2012 to visit family, and I took a course with him. And he said, "So, Christine, why are you here? What's the yoga important for you for?" And I'm like, "Well, I teach yoga because nobody deserves to be in pain." And I came from 15, 17 years of chronic pain from three severe accidents, which caused kind of same symptoms as you will get from whiplash, my neck and my jaw. So these years, just, you know, when I tried yin yoga, it was the first time I had a day without a headache in 15, 17 years.
Holy crap.
Exactly. And I thought that having a headache, I thought being constipated, I thought being a little bit trembling and crying or always a little bit stressed, I thought that was the normal because I tried it for so many years. And then the yin got me out of the pain, and I know it can heal all kind of things because we're working with the life force.
All right. So you really experienced the tremendous power yourself, and that's what made you decide to just share it with whoever needs it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what made you decide to move back to Denmark from the Philippines?
Well, because I was there with an ex-partner and we were expatriated and the contract ran out and we split up.
I'm sorry for you.
There's no worries. Back in 2013, no worries. Thinking of moving back, I'd love to have maybe half a year in Philippines or somewhere in Asia. I love being in Asia. I love the culture, the people. The Philippines are, I mean, they have their trouble, their issues, but you never see them without a smile on the lips. And it's a little bit more difficult to see people get a smile out of people's faces in the cold Nordic countries.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but you know, I was wondering because I spent quite a bit of time in Asia, and it's funny because I was often in countries where you had been to, and sometimes we were in touch. So I was just wondering, why did you actually move back to Denmark? But you know, to be fair, the world is small and you still travel a shit ton. So it's not that it's still part of your life. I mean,
it is. I finally came into Maldives. It's like, wow.
Yeah, wow.
I thought I'd be the most beautiful blue sea. And then you come to the Maldives and it's like, okay, this is the most beautiful place I've seen.
Yeah.
I'm actually going back after my training, I go to Maldives for a yoga retreat.
Hey, and but do you feel like you really have set your roots now in Denmark, or have your roots always been there? They've never really been gone.
I thought that the yin yoga is about getting rooted, but the root is in my heart, and I don't have roots in a physical place anymore.
Well, that's very nice.
I
That
mean,
makes life
that's wonderful.
easygoing.
Yeah, it does make. I can get comfortable most places today. I'm not rooted in Denmark. I'm open for anything that'll come my way.
You come your way, but you're good in Denmark. Let's put it that way.
Let's put it that way. I am. I mean, it's home. I think we all have some kind of magnetic field of where we're born, where we're raised. This, you know, it's that. How can you say it? It's your safety net. You know each
Yes.
other. You know, and even though there's a new coffee shop or the grocery closed down or things change and the building is torn down, a new one rises, you know the streets. You know it.
Yeah, it's your comfort zone, but there's nothing wrong with that, really. It's nice to return to every now and again to just, yeah, it can even be nostalgic if you've been away for a long time and you walk the streets again, and depending on the season, you see the trees and the flowers, and you smell the smell of that place. I like it. It's sort of a nostalgic feeling to me,
Yeah,
returning home after a
it
while.
is.
Yeah.
You sure have done it.
Hey, and if it comes to teaching yin yoga, like here in Holland, yoga is raising popularity. Like I feel every day there are new studios opening up, and especially in the cities, it's getting bigger and bigger. But it hasn't been like that always. I think it's something pretty recent that it's really growing. So how is that for you? You've been teaching it for quite a while.
Yeah. That's funny you put it like that. I just been in the north of Denmark in a city called Aalborg, and I was invited by one of my colleagues who used to work in the same studio as me when I came back from Denmark. And as he said, we kind of started this. I mean, yoga has existed for many years, like in Denmark too. There's been yoga studios who's been running for 15, 20, 25 years, and they are still there, but they feel the thing happening the last 2 years. Yoga studios are building up, and we're talking about little like apartments or basement places with like maybe room for 8 people. Then they get the next one for 12. Or we have the fitness kind of yoga studios with a space for like 30, 50 people, and they sell the memberships super, super cheap, where they pay the instructors a really low fee.
Yeah.
I mean, and I find that as is an issue. It's an issue because I paid for my teacher trainings and I keep taking them, as we talked about, and
Yeah.
they're not cheap.
The fuck no. They're not.
Oh, did you just
Oh.
swear? And
If you want to go
yeah,
to a good one, you pay a lot of
you
money.
pay, but you pay for the benefit, for the consumer, for the students, for the people who you are teaching.
Yep. It's
So,
true.
and I mean, if I was, I always picked the best teachers. I had the best teachers. Even before I knew I was going to be a yoga teacher, I picked the best teachers. I picked the ones, I read the CV, the curriculum, saying, okay, this person really knows this shit. That's the
Yep.
person I'm
That's
going
I
to join.
want to learn from. Yeah, you
Because,
cannot
yeah.
learn from everyone. Yeah, that's so true.
And it's not just about the learning, it's about me being safe, me being tr my body not being exposed to something that's going to damage me.
Definitely. And neither your mind. I mean, come on, there's a lot of fraud, unfortunately, and people who really want to get, yeah, dive into yoga because of the business or the commercial aspect. And that is a
For
pretty
sure.
that's pretty sad.
It is.
Yeah.
I normally say, I'm in it for my living. I'm doing this for my living. And my living is not the money that's going to be my living, but the money is an energy that I need because
Yeah.
I cannot pay rent. I cannot pay my next teacher training. I cannot pay insurance that I need when I'm teaching people this kind of movement.
For
I need to
sure.
pay that, and I cannot pay with karma. And I think exactly, you know, you can't go to the bank and say, hey, how do I get out of this one with my karma? And I think one of the best ones is a colleague of mine, Arantxa Fischer, here in Denmark. She's a very, very good children's yoga teacher. And she has a lot of, she's an anthropologist, and she's also teaching this philosophy about the Sanskrit and the yoga philosophy. And she says, you know, it's difficult to get people because people don't want to hear about that. They just want to get the firm buttocks and the six pack and the tummy. So they choose different kind of yoga styles compared to hers. But she said, hey, especially children's yoga, the parents, they don't mind paying to go to Tivoli, these fairground, playfield place, whatever. They don't mind paying to take the kids to the cinema or getting the Friday candy, which is a thing in Denmark. Mm-hmm. But paying for the kids to go for yoga class, nah, that should be free, they say. And then Arantxa has this very good thing. I cannot pay my kids new Wellingtons, new raincoat with karma down the shoe shop. You can't.
No, but it's so sad that we even have to explain people this.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think twice. Come on. And all they think like, they often ask me like, oh, okay, so you teach yoga and what else do you do? And then I'm like, actually, I'm teaching yoga full time pretty much. And they're like, they raise their eyebrow like, huh? It's funny, but not funny.
Yeah. I think part of it, you know, that's why I'm teaching people who, I'm teaching the banker, I'm teaching the engineer, I'm teaching the school teacher, I'm teaching the people who are not yoga teachers.
Yes.
Because these people understand, hey, I'm coming with arthritis, I'm 55, I got these 6 years of pain in my knees. I heard you can do something. And I'm like, yeah, I can do something. I can guide you and you have to do the rest yourself.
Yes.
And then they do the poses and they are in pain while they're in the poses. But after 5 days with me, they run, they move, they tell me how the pain around the knee has gone.
Honestly,
After I've been like doing workshops now, weekend courses with a doctor who's also researching in arthritis, and he kind of, you know, he approved each of the poses that I'm doing with these people, which is amazing. And it goes so much further. And of course, you know, you don't mind paying to go to a physiotherapist, you don't mind going to pay for an osteopath treatment, but paying for yoga class, no good.
No.
But because I can now say, listen, a doctor approved of my poses here, these will benefit you, and people start talking, hey, this is helping me, this is helping me. They seem like, you know, they rather want to pay for something that's actually benefiting them, and they can use this as a tool when they come home.
Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You can, yeah, it doesn't stop at the end of the course or at the end of the training. It starts basically after that.
Yeah,
all that they learn, and they can bring that home.
Yeah, because I ground them. And I cultivate them and they go home and they're ready to move.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. And if it comes to making a living out of yoga, do you mostly teach regular classes at studios, or is it from private teachings you do, or private sessions with people, or is it your retreats, or really the combination?
It's a little bit of combination. I don't really do many one-on-ones. I don't find them very energetic for me. And I don't think that the energy in a room with 15, 20 people or more, that serves everybody a lot better.
Interesting.
I think that, and I was just finding it, I just had a coffee with a friend today, and he's running a gym, and he totally agreed with me how it's more fun to teach, like, and he's doing, you know, kind of his own way of teaching fitness, CrossFit, with the kettlebells and squats and whatever. And he says, it's just more fun to have 17 people in the room than 4 people, because each of their energies pushing each other without even comparing, without even stepping out of their own little field, they still get that energy in the room. And I think it's a bit like going for Vipassana, and you sit there meditating, right?
This collective energy.
Yeah, exactly. So go for the classes, go for the group training, And that's why I love the retreat, because the retreat, when you sit there,
Yes.
like, I think the best feedback I ever had was not saying, "Oh, your class is so good, your retreat is the best." It's, she says, this woman, you know, "I went for a retreat and I was on the boat and I was looking around on the at the people on this boat, and I could point out all 20 people that I was going to spend out of the 100 people on the boat." That she could point out each of the 20 people she was going to spend the next 48 hours with on this yoga retreat, because they were all looking the same. But when you come from my yoga retreat, you cannot point them out. You won't know that these people are going, because I have such a huge variety of people coming. I have the
Yes.
engineer, I have the school teacher, I have the yoga teacher, I have the one who is not working anymore because he or she had a disco collapse 5 years ago. I have the overweight, the underweight, the stiff, the soft, the strong. You know, I have them all. And
Yes.
that's what I love. I have the, and we do the practice, and they each look at each other and learn, "Oh, she's complaining about the knees. Maybe I can complain about her lower back pain." And suddenly they start laughing and they talk together and they compare. And then we just chat, chat, chat. And then we do more practice and we chat, chat, chat. And they connect and, you know, they bonding, making new friendships
Yeah, it's
across.
fantastic.
It
Yeah,
is.
it's hard to explain or to convince people to go on a retreat. And obviously, it's our living, but honestly, it's the best thing to do. And
It is.
it's such an incredible experience. And also, you spend a lot of time with all the people on the retreat, and you can really guide them. And you can see, oh, hey, let's spend some time or effort in this thing, or you can really help them. And once the retreat is over, it starts. It's so different from any other vacation you take. It's over and it's finished, but this is the start of something new. And all those great takeaways they can take home and practice in day-to-day life, and it's so beneficial.
And that's, when you say it and put it like that, I think it's very important to say there's a reason why it's not cheap to go on a yoga retreat. It's not a vacation in the same way, because the teacher that you go with, often I'm working as a coach. You know, I've been told I'm like a life coach. Yeah, but if we sit there over dinner,
absolutely.
The food is it's selected by me. I've asked the chef to cook certain meals because I know the life force in these foods. And
beneficial for you,
exactly. And it's, why is it healing? And we get to these talks about how can you change when you come home? How can you do little changes? I don't believe in retreats where it's 100% different from what you do at home. Believe in these because it's too overwhelming when you come home and you've been doing a week on juice and soups, and you can't pick out, so you just get back to doing what you used to because it's too overwhelming.
Yep.
But if you just have like little differences, like I start my morning at the retreat with lemon juice and a hot glass of water with salt, can take that home and they're already doing little changes, and within 3 months, because of just
life fucking changing for sure. Yeah, I like that you say that, like those little things, and not completely different. But I remember when finishing my teacher training, I was extremely overwhelmed with only eating vegan food, which was totally new for me, and practicing so much. And like, I did this 1 month teacher training, you know, and I was just so overwhelmed that when I got out of it, I did the complete opposite, and I went sort of crazy. I felt like I was so out of balance. And it really took me some time to find that balance back again. And sometimes I think I never found it back. You know what I mean?
I know so, what you mean.
Yeah. So a retreat, which is not too far or not too different from your regular, I think that's more beneficial for most people.
Yeah. But let me clear out. I had two girlfriends joining my retreat once, and I asked people, "Why you join? How did you find me?" "Oh, we saw, like, we were Googling yoga retreats, and this picture popped up with a glass of rosé next to the pool." I'm like, "What?" So that's why they picked my retreat. And I never drink rosé, and I've never had anything by this exact pool at my retreat. But That was a picture that popped up and they chose. And whatever, they are welcome. I always say, listen, you are welcome to have a glass of wine. If you feel like it, you can have all the coffee you want. You're the one who's going to be in the poses afterwards. And I think that's when they find out, oh, wow, we finished that bottle of red wine last night. That pose does not feel good today.
This fucking toe tuck pose. Fire feet.
The tuck toe. Well, that is the temperature of your life today.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, Christine, I've got a few more questions. So you think that there is something you cannot do as a yogi or as a yoga teacher?
There's something you cannot do?
Yes.
How do you mean?
You know, there is these life rules for yogis, and some people, they say, oh, don't drink wine or don't do this or don't do that. So for you, is there something you feel like now that you've become between marks yogi or however you want to call it? I don't like to label, but let's label. Is there something you think you cannot do anymore?
Well, with my yoga, with the practice that I've done, I remember in an interview back in 2015, I told someone, listen, she said, are you a vegan? Are you vegetarian? I said, no way. I need my burger. I'm going to have my steak and my glass of red wine. And half a year later, after three yin yoga retreats, actually one of them was like on a juice thing, I noticed how I started to look different at the menu. I looked at the salads, and since 15, it's changed. I don't eat meat. I don't eat a steak. And it just came within half a year after back in 2015. So yeah, but I don't think it's got anything to do with me being a yoga teacher. It's a practice. I don't act from rules. I act from my state. And what happens with
intuition?
The yin yoga? Yeah, the yin yoga balances and how can you say, not heals your organs, so they think and act clearer, which makes my virtues stronger, the virtues that we're all born with. So I can see how like kindness and my wisdom and my intuition is stronger, and that's why I change.
And it speaks to you differently, so that's the point. It's not that you willingly, like, I'm not going to do this anymore. It just, that's...
It comes natural. From the practice. That's why it's a cultivation when we're doing the yin.
Okay, that makes sense. So there's nothing you tell yourself not to do.
Oh, you're pushing me. Okay, yes. I don't go dating anymore because I have to be in bed before my gallbladder hour, which is from 11 o'clock in the night. So by 11 p.m., I need to be sound asleep. That's me. I cannot go out dating anymore because, you know, 10 o'clock, oh, sorry, I have to go home and go to bed. And I'm like, damn, I just fucked up my dating life.
So this is because of your gallbladder?
It's because I live after the organ clock from the TCM. Yeah, the organ clock. And I need my gallbladder to rest because if I don't sleep after 11 with my gallbladder, that means I will be tired at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the day after. The gallbladder hour from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yes.
is where you get the energy to go through the afternoon, the day after. So you need that sleep. You need your liver sleep from 1 to 3 a.m. So it's, you know, it's something about beauty sleep, and it's about how I feel better when I have my sleep.
And you actually experience the difference when you're in bed before 11.
Yes, big time.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to pay attention on that.
Try, especially in that 2 o'clock afternoon thing. If you don't, if you're not sleeping, if you are like, you know, I normally say go to bed around 10, 10:30 and sleep. You need to sleep 10:30 really. So the 11 o'clock, you are already sound asleep. That will give you the energy to get through the afternoon. Give you
Wow. I'm definitely going to pay attention on that because I thought you have a boyfriend, dear,
no problem. But I don't. And it's really difficult to go out for breakfast dates. Yeah. I love a breakfast date.
But you can or you cannot. Yes, you can.
I can go for a breakfast date. I love it. But
yeah,
there's too many men who haven't figured that one out yet.
I love it too. Brunch dates. It's brilliant. It's so good.
Meet up there in your pajamas.
Yeah. So this brings me to the next question, Christine. How does your perfect Sunday look like?
In
Speaking about breakfast.
the brunch date. And actually, I don't want a brunch date. I want a breakfast date. I love my breakfast. A perfect, well, I try not to differ between Sunday, Monday, Thursday. It doesn't matter what day it is.
Yeah.
Every day is a weekday, and every day should be a good day. But my f perfect morning is waking up and actually have my lemon shot. And I have my coffee, I make my porridge, and I bring it back in bed, and I can sit reading a magazine or a newspaper with coffee and porridge in my bed.
Oh, that's
And when I'm
beautiful.
traveling, I will do my best to have, I will bring in like good coffee from my hotel room or wherever my room, and porridge, whether it's instant porridge or something. That's, you know, it's my top of the
That's your
pops.
little moment there that sets you
It
up
is.
for a good day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Sounds really good. Hey, Christine, so now we're gonna just flip the script a little bit. I've got a few more questions, but these are a little bit different. It's called the Human as Fuck Quiz, and I'm just gonna throw some questions at you very fast. And the idea is that you respond as quick as you can. And that you really give me the first thing on your mind or on your heart. Are you ready for this?
Bring it on.
Okay, here we go. So, sleeping or eating?
Oh, two very good things. Both life force. Oh, I love sleeping. I love a good bed.
Okay, sleeping. And then leading or following?
Leading.
Black or white?
White for the light.
And then bolster or block?
Block.
Water or fire? First thing.
Water for the life force. Life, water is life force.
Beautiful. And then favorite beach in the world?
Favorite beach in the world.
You
Oh,
have to call the first thing that comes to mind. There's so many beautiful ones, I know.
there are so many beautiful ones, and it is Palawan in the Philippines.
All right. I thought you would say Talala.
Oh, that is gorgeous too.
Yeah, okay. No, it's
Kanda Mata is even better in Sri Lanka.
Oh my goodness, there's too many beautiful beaches. Okay, let me continue. Body or mind?
Body and mind. We need the body. The body overrules the mind. The mind gets clearer and the body is good.
Oh wait, sweet. And then sex or sun salutations?
Did you say sex or sun salutations?
Yep.
Okay, I always go for sex.
Okay, and then Christine in three words.
Christine in three words.
Yes.
Oh, funny, curious, stubborn.
I like that. And then most impressive person alive today.
Most impressive person in life today.
That's smart. You
Oh,
gain time with repeating the question.
I think I'm quite impressive.
You? Well, that's fair enough.
Can't think of anyone except me right now. I'm so selfish
Okay,
ego.
let's stick with Christine Marie Ross. Perfect. So, but now here's another one. What would you like to improve?
My language skills. I'd love to learn a new language.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, languages are so awesome, but it's so much time required to actually learn one,
It
to
is.
embody one. Okay, two more. Favorite asana?
Favorite asana is my Buddha rest.
Buddha rest?
Yeah, the one where we lie down on the side and we hold the back of the head and we straighten our legs and push away the heels and press down. It's
Ah.
forget about rest. It's a lot of work in the pose, but you're fully supported by the floor, and it works on your gallbladder, which is connected to all the eight extraordinary meridians. So there's
You
a
and your
lot.
gallbladder.
Yeah, but I need it because of the stubbornness and the world. It's connected to the liver, and the liver is so exposed to this
Yeah.
world. Yeah,
I'm gonna do
so
this one tonight.
Good idea.
Honestly, I need, sounds like my posture too. I'm going to do it. Okay, two more. Razor or epilator?
Razor, the old, old, damn, that's many years ago I tried that. That's too painful.
It's freaking painful. I use it, but it's a motherfucker. It's really terrible.
Chiller is the best a man can get, right?
Okay. This is some sneaky advertisement here. They should pay us. Okay. Now, last but not least, what does the world need more of?
Kindness.
Kindness. Yes, that's sweet. That's a sweet closure, Christine. Kindness. Let's end with kindness.
Let's end with that. Thank you very
much. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for being on the show and being so open and sharing a lot. I'm going to continue following you and your yin journeys.
Likewise.
Hopefully at some point we meet again.
Thank you for asking. Thank you for your time.
All right, so you guys, are you yogis? I also want to thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope that you enjoyed. And if you did, please take a little moment to like and review this episode. And perhaps do subscribe for many other amazing episodes that are coming up soon. Also, I just wanted to mention, I think that's something very clear that Christine and I agreed on, is that going on a yoga retreat is such a special gift to yourself or to a friend. It's the perfect way and the perfect occasion where like-minded people get together to experience heartwarming activities. And depending on the retreat you take, it's either yin or yang activities such as yoga, meditation, chanting. But sometimes you'll find retreat with workouts and other things like hikes and swimming or surfing. But there are just so many options, and it's definitely worth looking into it because it can be such an incredible experience. So if you are curious about going on a yoga retreat with either Christine or perhaps with me, please have a look at yinpower.dk for retreat with Christine, or theyoganomad.nl for retreats with me. Sending you lots of love and light, and talk to you soon.